This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the eastern seaboard of the United States. Tonight, Apple blocks Google from breaking the rules. Locust is trying to do what Aereo failed to do. Hulu is going to serve a new type of advertisement. And Uber adds public transportation. That and much, much more. I want to welcome you to episode 1343 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, January 31st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out. For those of you that are longtime listeners, thank you for being part of the Ohana and staying subscribed. That's the most important part. Tonight, we are trying a brand new piece of gear. While I'm on the road, I had the opportunity to pick up a Rodecaster. This is the ultimate podcasting recording device, and I've got it here in my hot hands in the hotel room, and we're giving it a try. So we'll see how the audio turns out, and of course, we'll get some feedback from all of you on how the content sounds as well. But that was one of the reasons why I played the intro tonight. It's got an built-in soundboard, which makes it real easy to play jingles. So maybe it's time for some new Geek News Central jingles. That one goes all the way back to 2005. For those of you that are brand new, I want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show when you're over there. Of course, you can subscribe to the newsletter when you're on the website as well. You can listen to the show at blueberry.com, or you can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword to activate that device, and in the words, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or join our Slack channel by sending me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Great place to send a comment on the show as well, or on Twitter at Geek News. You can follow me on Facebook. Just search for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows include GNC Week in Review, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, and of course, the Podcast Legends podcast. Excuse me. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. We want to say thank you to our sponsor here of the show, the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That would be GoDaddy.com. You can find all my GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be a $2.49 per month economy or manage WordPress site, or 30% off a new product purchase, 99cent.coms, or even a 1 month trial of GoDaddy website builder for those of you that are business owners. Now, here's the cool thing. On that domain or on that hosting account, you get this, a free domain when you pick up the hosting account. It's a great deal. You really can't go wrong there. At $2.49 a month, do the math, minus $8.49 for what the cost of a domain is, you really are getting a great deal. You really, really are. So just over $20 for the first year, you've got yourself a website. And you can build whatever you want on there, whether it be a business, a podcast, start a blog, start a business. It's really up to you on where you want to go. If you have something that's like a new hobby that you're starting and you want to talk about it, that's a great thing to do at GoDaddy. And of course, using one of my promo codes to get started and build your online presence. Of course, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And of course, you again can find all those deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. A little bit of as all of you are, you're fighting the cold, right? Holy cow, who turned the heat off? You know, I don't think I have experienced this so-called polar vortex since I was a kid. you know, having been away from really cold regions for so many years, I just really forgot how absolutely frigid it could really become. And I think this morning it was like minus 10. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So I'm wearing dress slacks, dress shoes, and then I'm wearing a dress shirt, and then over that I have a little parka, then a coat, then an actual hat, and my hair is, you know, that hats don't do good for, you know, I don't have much hair anyway, but you know, I just look like it's horrible. And gloves, and then going into business meetings. it's very hard to transplant a pineapple into the coldest time of the year, and what many of you have experienced for this crazy weather. But I guess a warming trend is ahead. They're saying 44 in Chicago tomorrow. And it can be a whole like 50 degree change or something. But yeah, so I hope everyone's been safe and doing okay with the cold weather. I hope you're surviving. I hope that you haven't had any issues per se. So anyway, that enough on the cold weather. But one thing I've had three or four different sites. I have notices set to let me know when the Rodecaster was coming on market or when it would be available. There's been a very limited supply of these things. I've been wanting to get my hands on one to test it, and I'm pretty impressed so far. It'll take four channel, basically run four mics on it. You can connect your computer to it that allow you to record and also play back stuff through it. Then you can do Bluetooth connection to something like an iPad. And I was testing last night the ability to do Skype over the iPad. And that was interesting. That was it was a good test. I don't think the quality was quite where I wanted to be, but in a pinch, if someone was going to be calling me on the phone and we needed to just do a phone interview, it ties right in. It really seems to work well. So I'm pretty excited about this box. And of course, the ability to put soundboard stuff in as well. I don't even know what this one's going to play. Let's see what. Well, let me press it here and see what we get. Wah, wah, wah. So it came with some pre-built-in sounds. I'm not going to be doing a whole bunch of sound effects, but it is something that's very interesting to me from a production standpoint for people that are doing podcasts. But this is a seven or essentially almost eight channel board with the soundboard, and then the three different ways: one way to connect to a computer, two ways to connect to a device via mobile, or direct via TRRS connector. Pretty impressive. I'm actually surprised. Now mine, I have a technical issue. I called the Rode folks and said, hey, when I turn it off, it doesn't always want to turn back on immediately. So this one may be going back. I'm sure in the early days here, they're cranking these things out, and there's bound to be some production weaknesses. So we'll see. We'll be doing some onboard testing. But one thing that's kind of cool is it's got the Aphex on board. It's got the big bottom. And those of you that have been around from the show for a long time know that when I'm in Honolulu, I run a big bottom processor. So there's no way to adjust it. It's an on or off function. And also there's an on and off function for the compressor as well. So we'll see how this ends up being, but I'm pretty impressed so far with this. A little pricey, but at the same time, it's got the Class A servo-based preamps in it. So I know I'm geeking out here a little bit with you, but anyone that's thinking about doing a podcast with more than one person, and you're going to be together, or maybe even one person remote, this is kind of an out-of-the-box, quick way to do it. It has onboard recording, and I'm also recording at the same time tonight with Audition. pretty flat on the spectrum. So I'm curious to see how you all think that the sound of this system sounds. And again, I got it tweaked. I may have it a little overmodulated, but that's just one of those things where you have to kind of figure out where you need to be. But anyway, that's enough on the Rodecaster, but fun to test this this system out. All right, I got a great show lined up for you. Kirk put the majority of the show together. I went through, as I promised on the last show, and found some additional articles and dropped them into the stack here. So, but I want to start off tonight with, you know, Apple over the last couple of days that put the hammer down. It was discovered that Facebook was using an enterprise license. I guess that's a better way it is. Facebook and Google have internal apps that allow additional levels of tracking. Basically, they can see everything that's going on in the cell phone. And these were supposed to be company internal applications, not supposed to be used outside of the enterprise, internal only. It's their users, their phones, that type of a situation. But what they found was that Facebook, for a number of years, has been distributing its internal apps and paying people to watch their behavior. And it turns out that Google has been doing some similar things with some of its beta apps. And Facebook got its license pulled a couple of days ago. And I heard just recent, or within the last couple of hours, Facebook has been re-enabled. They've removed the offending app that was the issue. And now Google has joined Facebook and Apple's banning spree here. But it just goes to show in one piece here, just one swoop, that there are two different levels of protection. And I don't know how many companies use these internal apps, but I'm sure many of you run apps that have been, that are not public, that have been provided by your employer. And if they are underneath the same rules as Google and Facebook, the data that your employer can garner from that is incredible. Full free looking inside your phone. All this information that's supposed to be locked away and private, they can pull out. Location data, all this stuff. And it makes me wonder how many companies beyond Google and Facebook are running internal licensed apps like this, where they have this special arrangement with Apple to allow them to garner this data. So it really is pretty eye-opening for me, and I didn't know this class of license really existed. I didn't see that at all. So one thing that we are seeing here is that with this Apple, Facebook, and Apple, Google licensing dust up, it shows you that the power that Apple has over apps, data, they really have an incredible reach here. And it's really kind of scary. And Facebook was running an app called Facebook Research. And again, it was really dubbed by the folks at Apple as a secret spying program. And this was actually being handed out to teenagers and folks that were up to 35 years old, and they were giving money to them every month for participating in data collection. You know, $20 a month, and but you got to give up all the data. I just wonder how many parents knew that their teenagers were utilizing this Facebook Research app. It makes you go, The article over basically on this website at getreview.com is basically saying that the parental consent for those forms was easily bypassed. But Facebook, you know, is all about needing to collect data. And it's amazing. As soon as they were called out on it, Facebook said, oh, we'll shut it down. They knew they were dirty. They really knew they were dirty. And that just makes it even worse. And it goes to show that they are not a good network, or not a good corporate citizen, that they're doing this type of stuff. And it's really raises a lot of questions here. And we've talked about on the last show privacy quite a little bit, about how we have no privacy. But it shows you how desperate, how absolutely desperate these companies are for insider information, insider data information that they can't get otherwise. And it also shows the absolute power that Apple holds over really almost any app. So with Google having the same type of or similar type of app, supposedly, it doesn't come as any surprise here that they got their their lights knocked out as well. So what do you guys think? Is this any of this surprise you at all? Does it concern you? Does it make you go, You know, does it make you think about this at all? I really want to hear from you, geeknews@gmail.com. Or do you shrug your shoulders and say, yep, I'm not surprised. It's just another day in the life of the digital life that we live in today. Locust, what a name for a company. Locust lets you stream local TV for free. It believes that by being a nonprofit, it gives it legal exemption. And there are some exemption rules that are in play here. And they may very well get away with this. And they're doing the same thing, the exact same thing that Arrow was doing. Now, the only difference is they're currently broadcasting TV networks from NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox. And what they've done here is because they're a nonprofit, it believes its nonprofit status lets it take advantage of this exemption in copyright law that allows for broadcast TV networks to be freely retransmitted. The law does make an exemption for nonprofits to do so, again, so long as they're not making a profit. So they have a donation model. Now, the service launched last year is currently up and running in New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Chicago, Houston, Dallas, and Denver. Now, in order to sign up for this, you have to be in the region. You have to be in the Dallas region or Denver region. For me, being from Honolulu, I cannot go and sign up and get to New York unless maybe I spoof a VNC or something, because that's how they're staying in the within the law. They haven't been sued yet. And maybe they haven't been sued yet because maybe they're hoping this thing goes away on its own because they're not able to earn enough money through donations. So their donation levels are not that great, but I don't think a lot of people have heard about them as well. So, but again, they haven't sued them yet. And, you know, we've talked about this here already that, what's going on here? I'm seeing some activity. Oh, I don't know what's going on. That was odd. I saw something on the start bar making on the Mac doing some weird stuff. I know what it is. It's Audition recording in the audio level. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. So very, very cool here. I wish I lived in one of these areas to give it a try. I really do, because in Honolulu, I have a very hard time getting over the air. It's not working so well. Now, the person that started this business took out a high-interest loan, and they've only raised $10,000 in donations. So maybe this will die on the vine. Time will tell. But the big boys haven't come after them yet. All right, next up, Hulu. Hulu's going to start showing ads. Now, check this out. During pause breaks. So if you're watching a movie or watching a show, and you click pause, it's going to start playing an ad. I have to admit, this is kind of interesting. It's an interesting play. Usually, if you're watching a movie, the only time you hit pause is during an exciting time and you got to rush up and go to the bathroom or something. So maybe you won't hear the ad in its entirety, but they're going to play ads when you click pause so that it's not a disruptive advertisement. Interesting, yeah? What do you guys think about that model? I actually kind of think it's a good one. I really do. I wish I could figure out how to do that with a podcast. Yeah, you guys hit pause and then you guys get served an ad, you know, that I could get paid for. But I don't think it's possible with podcasting. I don't think the technology isn't there to do it because you've already downloaded the file. There's no way for me to send an ad to you when you hit pause. But I kind of like what Hulu's done here, and we'll see what kind of traction they get on it. You know, I use Uber and Lyft. As a matter of fact, I've been using Uber and Lyft a lot this trip. It's really my main way of getting around. It's just get from meeting to meeting. It's easy, back and forth the hotel. It really saves me from having to rent a car. In some instances, I've had to because of, you know, where I've been and the distances I've had to go. But the Uber has updated their app so that Denver residents can plan trips to buy digital passes for public transportation. So if you get your app out and it will show you some options. It'll show you Uber driver. It's going to also show you the bus. If you're close to a bus station, something you grab close, how long it's going to take you from get point A to B. I think this is really smart. Now, I know there's apps out there that do this already for public transportation, but it's nice, I think, to have the option to be, and oftentimes I don't carry a lot of cash. I don't want to have to, getting in a bus is a pain. If you don't have cash, you got to have, swipe a credit card or what, you know, some, every city's different on what you can do. And, so standing with my Uber app and switching between Uber and Lyft, I'm on Uber, I look and there's no car close, which happens sometimes. And I flick to the public transportation and boom, a bus is leaving in 3 minutes, 100 feet from where I'm standing, and I can pay for the bus with the Uber app. That's a win. And if, you know, it may take me a few more minutes to get from point A to point B, but at least it's an option. And for when I'm in Vegas and this type of places, I hope they expand this. I really, really do. I hope they make some changes here to have this nationwide. But maybe there's apps out there. Those of you that are listening to the show, let me know. Is there an app out there where I can use public transportation, where it's tied to my credit card, where I don't have to have cash in hand to pay for a bus ticket or a subway or whatever it may be? Love to hear your feedback. All right, over at space.com, Earth looks spectacular from space in a breathtaking cosmonaut video. And I must admit, it's pretty amazing. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. The footage was captured by Russian cosmonaut Oleg Konikenko, who is currently commander of the space station. He arrived at the orbiting laboratory on December 3rd with two crew members, NASA astronauts Annie McLean and Canadian astronaut David St. Chicot. So right now, it's actually David St. Chicot and I probably pronounced his name wrong. Those of you that speak French, I apologize. But very, very cool. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. All right, Microsoft is going to end IE10 support much earlier. It's telling enterprises to upgrade to IE11. I'm be honest with you, IE11 sucks. So IE10 is just probably just as bad, but the time clock is ticking here. So IE11 will replace IE10 on systems running Windows Server 2012 at the end of the year. So making a big change here. Microsoft's trying to get rid of the old stuff quicker. Charter will spend less on cable network in 2019, but of course they raised your rates. Charter's only going to spend $1.9 billion on infrastructure, and they're raising their prices, of course, to make their service more expensive. So it's kind of interesting what they're doing there, in that they're charging a lot more but investing less. So this should not come as a surprise to any of us, being that there is no competition hardly in most communities for cable. As long as my internet keeps moving, I guess that's the most important thing, right? Amazon, boy, oh boy, they racked it up. Amazon holiday profit soared thanks to Black Friday and Cyber Monday. This is a big earnings call from them. They earned a profit of $3 billion, a sales of just over $72.4 billion, a 20% increase year-over-year revenue. For Amazon, 2018, of course, was a year of some really crazy growth. And the tech giant capped it off with a huge sales with it from huge sales from Black Friday and Cyber Monday. I did very little shopping on Amazon over the holidays. I really didn't buy too much. But what else to say here? That Amazon gave scarce details on which products sold the best, but it say the last 3 months were the best holiday season for Echo devices it ever had. Of course, they're basically giving them away. What else? Ring also had enjoyed its best quarter as well, and most of the profits came from North America, including U.S. and Canada, where users generally don't spring for the big Asian sales event. Singles Day, which falls on November 11th, apparently was very, very big. So, again, good job on Amazon on turning a good quarterly profit for those of you who own stock in Amazon. Have you picked up a new laptop lately? Well, there's some things you need to do if you have. Talking about adding security software, using a VPN, having a good bag for it, maybe even insurance, even backup. So the folks over at PC World have a good article, a good tipper article. I don't necessarily endorse all the products that they're reviewing here, but there's a lot of like-minded products available that you can get the protection you need for your laptop. Again, link will be in the show notes for you to take a peek. All right, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and HBO. HBO Now, lots of new programming in February. Lots of stuff. Mystery, horror, and X-Men are in the air. You know, I'm not a horror. I don't watch horror movies. I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm really not a fan. Not that I don't like scary stuff. It's just I'm not a fan of horror shows. And it seems like there's a plethora of it available on all of these networks. So some of the stuff coming to Hulu would be View to Kill, Bad Santa, The Bounty, Caddyshack 2, Delta France, For Your Eyes Only. That's some of the stuff that's coming. Also, what else? Well, let me look at some of the other services here. I don't want to talk about what's leaving Hulu. Amazon Prime, 23 and a half hours, Bounty. What's some other ones here? Generation Wealth, Gambler's Choice, Lost Canon. So a bunch of movies coming in and shows, so definitely check that out. What else do we have here? HBO Now, if you have that. The Bourne Identity, The Bourne Supremacy. I really like that series. Jezebel, The Prince and Me, Secret Window. So lots of stuff coming to those services. Definitely check it out. I don't have a list for Netflix, but Hulu, Amazon, and HBO, we do definitely have that in the show notes. Foxconn, wow. Well, those of you in Wisconsin, you guys just got screwed again. Foxconn admits it won't build a TV plant in Wisconsin despite its $4 billion tax investment, or basically tax deal. The effort to build Foxconn factories has been controversial from the start. The original $3 billion offer from Governor Scott Walker announced as a tax rebate of $231,000 per job. Then the state threw in another billion in subsidies, bringing the per-cost job up to $307,000, with payback taking 25 years. That's with the Foxconn hiring 13,000 people. Well, they've changed their mind. They're going to hire 1,000 people instead of hiring the skilled workers. It will mostly focus on researchers and engineers. So I'm sure that's just what Wisconsin needs for. I think they need those other workers instead. So instead, it's going to become like an R&D shop. So how many years is Foxconn, man? They just scammed the state of Wisconsin a big, big way. Foxconn is still saying they're going to somehow reach the 13,000 job threshold. But even if it does, expects those jobs to be in R&D. And it'll probably take 100 years to get the $4 billion back. Oh my gosh. A Chinese screwing us again. MoviePass rival Cinema is offering more flexibility with rollover tickets. And, you know, MoviePass, it's actually a rival to Cinema. Does MoviePass actually still have a business? Well, Cinema is cutting some of its prices and allowing U.S. and U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia customers to roll one ticket from each month's allocation into the next month. That flexibility should prove useful. Some monthly plans are a little cheaper than before. The single ticket option is $4, down from $6. And the three ticket per month plan is dropped from $10 to $8. The plan works with Cinema physical debit card, which is used for in-person ticket purchases and helps avoid online processing fees. So anyone using Cinema? I've kind of stayed away from these since I got screwed on MoviePass. Love to hear if you're using Cinema and how it's working out for you. PayPal's Venmo, the company that their spinoff, has had a breakout quarter with payments surging 80%. The company saw $19 billion in payments through its peer-to-peer lending app, Venmo, in the fourth quarter, an 80% increase year over year. That's crazy. PayPal is on track to do another $100 billion in payment volume through Venmo this year, but it won't be in black until mid-2019. So that's an amazing amount of volume. You think about what PayPal has been able to do here. Twitter, according to the Washington Post, removed some accounts originating in Iran, Russia, and Venezuela that targeted the U.S. midterm election. What do you think? Of course. How many did they remove? Did they say? Twitter said it removed 418 accounts thought to originate in Russia before Election Day last November. Twitter said it has removed 764 accounts originating in the country that mimicked Russia's information operations. The company said it removed a majority of those accounts by November, but nearly a quarter or more recently created accounts tweeted 50,000 times about the 2018 midterm. So, all kinds of crazy stuff. Still in work, folks. Facebook on its own took down over 750 pages from Iran for inauthentic behavior. So these are accounts that are apparently engaging in coordinated inauthentic behavior tied to Iran. Those accounts mostly operated under a false or concealed identity and were repurposing Iranian state media content as if it was their own. They appear to be targeting audience in Middle East and South Asia and seem to be part of a network created to spread misleading news. And some of this activity dates back to 2010. Oh, good job. It's been going on that long. Of the accounts taken down, 262 pages, 356 accounts, and three groups were from Facebook, and 162 accounts were from Instagram. At least one of the pages had around 2 million followers, with around 1,600 accounts joined at least one of the groups, and at least one Instagram had more than 254,000. All misinformation. Be careful who you follow out there. All right. You guys heard about the Apple FaceTime bug. Well, it prompted an investigation from a New York attorney general. The probe is focused on Apple's response to the eavesdropping vulnerability, saying they weren't public enough about what they were doing. And yet, did you understand that a teenager actually discovered this and tried to submit it to Apple, and Apple kind of ignored it? So, not surprised there in the least. But Apple's FaceTime bug has prompted an investigation. Don't know what they're going to accomplish with that, to be honest with you. All right, next up, Jordan Peele's The Twilight Zone is coming to CBS All Access on April 1st. So if you're a fan and you have CBS All Access, be aware. Sprint, boy, it continues to bleed red and trying to get its T-Mobile deal done. Sprint really, at this point, cannot wait to team up with T-Mobile, but it's still tied up in regulatory approval. And they posted a third quarter loss of $141 million compared to a year ago profit of $7.16 billion or $1.79 a share. And Sprint also lost 26,000 postpaid phone customers, or people will pay at the end of the month due to increased promotions and higher customer defections. But overall customer growth stabilized with 309,000 new customers thanks to data devices. So lost a little bit of money. We'll see what happens with this if we go to from four to three major mobile characters. Microsoft Surface, boy, they're selling a lot of this bad boy. They sold $2 billion worth of Surface. Very popular computer. So $2 billion for Microsoft's fourth quarter. And Microsoft believes so strongly in its success is predicting another 20% growth on top of that for the current quarter. How many of you are using a Microsoft Surface? Surface sales are upending Windows' traditional role to Microsoft, even though it's likely Intel's fault, because they are sales are suffering because of lack of chips. In all, sales of Microsoft Surface devices grew about 39%. This was ahead of expectations. Crazy. So, very, very popular computer here. Some of you've got this thing at least. All right, drones are helping Galapagos to tackle a rat infestation. So basically, they got a huge, huge rat issue on the on Galapagos Island, and they are basically using drones to fly in rat poison, and they're going to do two big rounds of this and hopefully get rid of the rats, because most of the birds on that island supposedly are surface dwellers. They make their nest on dirt, not in a tree, and the rats are just cleaning house. So hopefully they're able to eradicate the rats. They've been able to do this in other locations like North Seymour, where they were able to use the same type of a tactic here to eradicate rats on that island. So we'll see what happens with this, and hopefully environmentally help the island. Samsung's profits dropped like a rock, dropped sharply at the end of 2018. Samsung warned people when it released its earning projection of Q4 that it was expecting a drop in earnings revenue. So here's the numbers. The Korean conglomerate has revealed that it posted $53.4 billion in quarterly revenue in dollars, down 10% from the same time last year. It's $9.7 billion quarterly operating profit is also down 29% from the same period in 2017. So Samsung says its memory business, NAND, and DRAM suffered from macroeconomics uncertainties and adjustments in inventory levels. And also, the division was likely affected by the slowing global smartphone sales, which also made a strong impact on Apple's earnings for October. People are sick of paying $1,000 for a mobile phone. And I think they're starting to extend the time they have their phones. It makes sense. $1,000 every 2 years, that's a lot of money. So they have a lot of hope on their upcoming Galaxy S10 release. But at some point, I think these folks have to start figuring out that you get the price jacked up to $1,000, $1,100, $1,200, whatever the price may be, and people are going to say, okay, if you amortize that out and look at what it costs you per month for that phone, it's pretty expensive. Let's say it's $1,200. That's $35, $36 a month. Let's just round it up to $40 if you've got insurance. And, it basically 2 to 3 years. And I think a lot of people are sick of paying for new phones, and phones are lasting a lot longer. I think my last phone upgrade, I did 2.5 years. My son's still using that phone, even though he broke the screen, which he had to have fixed. But amazing how kids are so rough on phones. And this one actually had a screen protector on it, too. So pretty wild. But the phone sales are down, and people are tired of buying a new phone every year or 2 years. I think they're stretching it out to three. LG, they failed to turn a profit for the first time in 2 years. Despite losses at its mobile division, it helped push the company to lose $72.5 million. So this is another one. Now, if there's a case for optimism, the LG's business was healthy over the year, making a full-year profit of $2.4 billion on revenues of $55 billion. But this quarter, the company saw the unusual losses in its mobile division and a surprising dip in its TV arm. And again, it's another thing. So you get a big screen TV. How many do you really need? And they last a long time. So there's a big cycle here that folks go through. All right, the next article is the one that I found tonight that I came up with that Kirk had not found in his search. SpaceX huge Falcon rocket will launch on its second flight in March. So this will be exciting to see this. I'm going to be in Florida. Now, March 7th, let me look at the dates here. Holy smokes, is that going to work out? It may. March 7th is Thursday. I am going to be in Orlando on the 7th of March for PodFest. Oh, I so hope this happens. Is that a full day? Let me think about this. I might be able to sneak out. It depends on when the launch is. Let me look. Are they quoting a time? March 7th is a no earlier than date. Ah, crap. But anyway, it's going to launch from historic Launch Complex 39A. Should be. Anyone down in Florida, can you see the launch from Orlando? I'm sure you can. I missed a shuttle launch years ago. Hopefully I'll be able to be somewhere where this launch goes down. All right. Over at dailygalaxy.com, basically the NASA's found a giant underground cavern two-thirds the size of Manhattan, almost 1,000 feet tall, growing at the bottom of the Tewite Glacier in West Antarctica. And basically, the glacier is being undermined, and they were shocked to see that much of it had been undermined. And the glacier's still surface; you can still see it, but there's a big cavern underneath it. So there we go. Google Plus is shutting down on April 2nd. All data will be deleted. So Google Plus is days are numbered. It's bye bye Google Plus. And sadly, it's going to drive more people over to Facebook because there are lots of good groups over there, lots of good podcast groups over there as well. In a Wired article, this is interesting. New York City knows more than ever about your Uber and Lyft trips. In 2007, New York City Taxi and Limousine Service belated embrace of the 21st century required that every taxi on the streets of the five boroughs start taking credit card payments for cash-weary New Yorkers. Now, the new readers made life easy, and anyone that's rode a New York taxi know that half the time the damn things don't work. But starting tomorrow, New York will start clawing the same. And basically, when they did this, it gave all kinds of information. It gave GPS trackers, all kinds of information about what was going on with these taxis and its rides. So now this is being extended to Uber and Lyft. So they will have to provide the commission with even more finely detailed data than they do now. The date, time, and location of pickups and drop-offs, the vehicle's license number, the trip mileage, itemized trip fare, route, including whether the vehicle entered traffic choke midtown, and how much the driver was paid. And all this is going to be used to enforce its minimum wage rule for app-based drivers at $17.22 an hour. So, of course, this is being challenged in court by Lyft and Juno. But with the plethora of Uber cars and Lyft cars, I mean, it's unbelievable how many are available. I can walk out of a New York skyscraper and be in a Uber or Lyft in 2 minutes. Literally, no longer than that. There's that many cars driving in Manhattan. So And, you know, the rides are relatively inexpensive, $6, $7, $8. So percentage of that goes to the driver, percentage of that goes to Uber. If they're competing that hard for dollars, and again, that many cars, it'd be interesting to see if these drivers are actually able to make $17.22 an hour. Computer World has an article about smartphone shipments and why it's been the worst year ever. And I'm not going to go, they've got their own breakdown, but it talks about life cycles of phones, cost of phones, again, the replacement cycles, all this stuff that I've kind of been talking about already. And with Apple suffering 11.5% drop in fourth quarter sales, despite three new models coming online, that tells you where we're at in this smartphone market. So anyway, Computer World has their full-blown analysis on what they think is going on in the space. Also, there's been another breach, a second massive collections leak of 2.2 billion email addresses, probably has your information. I'm sure some of this is going to be duplicated information that's already out. And this is really like a bad movie, the sequel of the collections. So it's basically, up to this point, 2.19 billion email addresses and passwords, far more than the original leak. And so anyway, it's... again, you can go over to Have I Been Pwned, P-W-N-E-D, website, and you can look at these collection of data and pull your information. Also, I just wanted to highlight, I talked a little bit earlier about the teenager that tried to warn Apple about its FaceTime security flaw and how they were ignored. I'm going to have that up in the show notes for you to review at your pleasure. You can take a look and show you the challenges of an ordinary person trying to report something significant to Apple on how Apple ignored that person and actually told them to sign up for a developer's account, which, by the way, costs about $100 a year to report a bug as big as it was for FaceTime. And finally tonight, want to get away with posting fake news on Facebook? Well, it's pretty simple. Just change your website domain. Oh, yeah. This is crazy. People are they get banned and they just rebrand. They rebrand and then they repost the same crap. And it's a never-ending cat and mouse game between... these fake news posters and Facebook and trying to keep up with them. It really is pretty incredible. And a good article, again, from Poynter, Poynter.org. So anyway, that's going to wrap me up for today's show. Going to get me close here to the end. I'm going to look and see if I had any email that came in. I don't think I did. Nope, none there. And let me look here. So no, email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Apologize, I'm got a little head cold starting here and a little stuffy, but I hope the audio from this new recording rack was sufficient for you all. Love to hear your feedback on the quality of the content. I think it sounds pretty good. I think I need to tweak it a little bit, but there's not a lot of tweaks that I can do. And let me see, what if I can find something? What do we got in this under this touchpad? Yeah, I need to play that. Give you guys a spooky story, right? What about this one? What's here? Oh, that was good. How about this one? I already played that one. What's this one? Yes, yes. Thank you for the applause, everyone. Thank you very much. Well, I'm going to take you guys out with an intro at the outro. Something you haven't heard in a long time. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure to bring the show for you. You have a jingle? Have something for me? Something you want me to play on the show? We're just going to have a little fun with this. I'm not going to make it a habit to do. But anyway, everyone, thanks for being here. And again, I'm going to do an intro as an outro. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. digital archive recorders, microphone, video feed, web browser, RSS data stream aggregator, Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
And showtime is over. Everyone have a great week. We'll see you back here on Monday. Be safe out there with the weather. Take care. Aloha.